The other night, I ran across a rerun of that old television classic, Cheers. I was reminded how much I love that quirky sitcom about a bar in Boston where everybody knows your name. It was great to remember those barflies, Sam and Carla and Woody and Rebecca and Cliff Clavin and Dr. Fraser Kane, Lilith, and most important in my book, Norm. Now, Norm was the ultimate bar stool couch potato. This obese, seldom employed accountant comes into Cheers and everybody calls out in unison, "Thank you." Everybody knows his name. Norm once described his life like this: "It's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear." Now, maybe Norm's life is not perfect. Sure, Norm cannot keep a job. Sure, Norm's marriage to Vera is not pure bliss. But it Cheers, everybody knows his name. And that counts for a lot. We all need and want a place where everybody knows our name. We call it a sense of belonging, to be among friends who are really glad to see you, eager to find out the latest about your life. Everybody wants a place like that, where everybody... And I got to think about my own need for belonging. I exercise most mornings at Sports and Wellness before coming to work here. About 15 or so people there know me by name. It's like Cheers without the alcohol. And I'm grateful for their friendship and camaraderie. In this presbytery, I have known people in New Mexico now for 27 years. I have a strong sense of belonging in this presbytery, and for that I'm deeply grateful. And here in this congregation, I suppose everybody knows my name. At least it's printed in the order of service. And I have truly enjoyed getting to know so many of you the last year and 4 months. And for you, I am deeply grateful. Now, Paul wrote to the Corinthians about a sense of belonging. And Paul was convinced that ultimately we belong to Christ and to Christ alone. Yet the divisions in that church in Corinth were evident in their battle cries. I belong to Paul, I belong to Cephas or Apollos. In this badly splintered congregation, people claimed to belong to their favorite teachers, just like we now wear sweatshirts that proclaim our loyalty to our sports teams or our celebrities. Paul saw in this effort a misplaced loyalty. For Paul, we can only belong to Christ and to Christ alone. Christ, who was crucified for us and into whose name we were baptized. Christ, who knows us by name, who knows every hair on our head, who knows every word before we speak it. Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. I belong to no other. And in that verse of Paul that has probably converted me a million times back to the faith, I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. That's what baptism into Christ means. I was not baptized into Paul or any other pastor. In fact, Paul displays a curious forgetfulness about whom he baptized in Corinth. Did Paul baptize anyone besides Crispus and Gaius and, and the household of Stephanus? Paul cannot seem to remember. Why? Because it is not important who baptized you. It is important into whom you were baptized. You were baptized into Christ, our Lord and Savior. Have you ever wondered why it is called the sacrament of baptism? The word sacramentum in Latin was an oath taken by a soldier to be obedient to his Roman commander. This oath was often worn around a soldier's neck as a kind of dog tag or identification marker. This sacramentum announced the soldier's allegiance to which commander he belonged, as is baptism, a sacrament of belonging. we belong to Christ and to no other. Our ultimate allegiance is to him and to no one else. So we are claimed by Christ, loved by Christ, cleansed and renewed for service to Christ. That's what our baptism signifies to us, and I hope to the world. And now, for what purpose? For what purpose were you baptized? Why do we belong to Christ? And our reading from John's Gospel shows that we have been claimed for a great purpose and a high mission. Christ prays for us that we might be protected from evil. He prays that we will be one, even as Christ is one with the Father. A deep and abiding unity in Christ, and it is not uniformity of opinion, have you noticed? But unity in the Spirit of Christ, a spirit of love and forgiveness and mutual encouragement. And what will our unity in Christ mean for us? I think it will mean this, that when we come together, everybody will at least know your face, and many of you will be known by name. You will be among friends in Christ, brothers and sisters for whom Christ died. There will be a spiritual bond of love and acceptance that is quite powerful and quite transformative. We don't all have to agree with one another to love each other deeply from the heart. It is a tie that binds through Christ, in Christ, and for Christ. And Jesus reminds us that our sense of belonging into one another is for this larger purpose. Listen to what Jesus prays. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Now watch this part. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. May I say that again? So that the world may believe that you sent me. In other words, our unity in Christ is not just for ourselves. It's for our outreach to the world. The world will see our unity in Christ, God willing, and so come to believe that Jesus is Lord. Our unity is not just for our own cozy feet. It's for the sake of the world that is so splintered. Let's not forget that in the 20th century, the ecumenical movement was born. That desire to bring people together in Christ. It was born in Europe after two world wars pitted nations against each other who claimed some kind of Christian heritage. The specter of Christian nations killing each other led to the ecumenical movement. The churches realized that their fights and squabbles only served to weaken their witness to the world. So the call for Christian unity was for the sake of the church's witness to the world. Our unity in Christ makes our witness credible and believable, even transformative. So when people come to worship with us, let it be said about you. See how they love one another. See how they love the Lord. See how this love can change people's lives. And that is why our unity in Christ is so vital. It is for the sake of the world that Jesus came to redeem. What is the most important verse in the Gospel of John? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let our love for one another, as we gather here at this table of reconciliation, and proclaim the good news of Jesus to a broken and splintered world. And may Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church always be a community where everybody knows your name. and loves you just as you are, for the sake of the world that God loves so much. Thanks be to God. Amen.